Good afternoon. My name is Chase Hildenbrand. I'm one of the pastors here at Christ Community Church. And on behalf of the Haddon family, thank you for being here. Thank you for loving Kelly and the Haddon family so well. And it's with heavy hearts that we remember and celebrate Kelly Haddon today. Yet, in the midst of grief, we have hope. For those in Christ, our grief and our sorrow do not lead to despair. It leads to hope. And as we know that Kelly put his faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, we can have hope. We know that Kelly now is more alive in the presence of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, than he ever was here on this earth. We know that Kelly is free from all pain, from all sorrow that we are all too well acquainted with here on this earth. We know that Kelly is experiencing eternal life with his Creator and his Sustainer. And for those of us who have put their faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, we know we will see him again. So Haddon family, we love you all. Our hearts are heavy for you. This church, Dana and Allie and Joey and Jeremiah, we are here for you guys in the weeks and months and years ahead. Would you guys join me in prayer? Father, we thank you that you are the God of all comfort. May we find peace and strength in you as we grieve the loss of Kelly. Thank you, Lord, that we have the assurance that Kelly is eternally secure with you. We praise you for the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ that makes it possible for us to have a relationship with you, both in this life and for all eternity. Father, as we remember Kelly's life today, we pray that you would be glorified. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
I invite you to stand with me as we sing a song about the greatness of our God.
Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God, his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. how great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great you are. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art.
And you may be seated.
A scripture for my brother. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Kelly D. Haddon, 56, recently of Morenci, Arizona, entered into heavenly rest on Monday, June 26, 2023. Kelly was born on April 29, 1967 in Ponca City, Oklahoma, welcomed by his parents, Charlie and Nancy Haddon, and sister Marcella. Kelly grew up on a ranch in Osage County, riding horses and tending cattle alongside his dad. Each summer, Kelly looked forward to attending Christian sports camp in Missouri, where he was strengthened in both his faith and athletic abilities. He graduated high school in 1985 and joined his family in moving to Tucson in 1987. Kelly and Dana met in 1996 and were married in 2000. After completing his bachelor's degree in chemistry education at the University of Arizona, Mr. Haddon began teaching chemistry and physics at Cienega High School in the Vail School District, Arizona. He continued his love for his beloved education field by obtaining a master's in education from Northern Arizona University in education leadership and became a Cienega assistant principal and did that for 10 years. His faith and his leadership were one and the same. You could look at Kelly's leadership and the way he cared for people and you could see where his heart was. Kelly was dedicated to every student, every teacher, every counselor, every custodian, every secretary. He knew everybody on his staff. He loved everybody on his staff, and he would always go to bat for everyone on his staff. Kelly was preceded in death by his father, Charlie Monroe Haddon, and his beloved nephew, Christopher Haddon Carr. He is survived today by his wife, Dana Ober Haddon, his two daughters, Aladine Grace, Joanna Lynn, and Jeremiah Paul of Tucson. He's also survived by his mother, Nancy of Vail, his sister, Marcella, and her husband, Philip James of Phoenix, an uncle, Ellis, and Aunt Louise Anderson of Sand Springs, Oklahoma. And Kelly leaves behind his beloved nephews, Charlie and Kaylin Carr, two great nieces, additional extended family, and countless friends and colleagues.
trying to understand how to walk this weary land. Make straight the paths that crooked lie. Oh Lord, before these feet of mine. Oh Lord, before these feet of mine. When my world is shaking, heaven stands. When my heart is breaking, I never leave your hands.
When you walked upon the earth,
you healed the broken, lost, and set all things right. Yeah, one day you will set all things right. When my world is shaking, heaven stands. When my heart is breaking, I never leave your hands. Your hands.
A poem for my uncle, Afterglow. I'd like a memory of me to be a happy one. I'd like to weave an afterglow of smiles when life is done. I'd like to leave an echo whispering softly down the ways of happy times and laughing times and bright and sunny days. I'd like the tears of those who grieve to dry before the sun of happy memories that I leave when my life is done.
Thank you. Too hard, one dream. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home.
I looked over Jordan and what did I see?
Coming for to carry me home.
A band.
Washed my sins away.
Coming for to carry me home.
If you get there before I do,
coming for to carry me home.
I tell all my friends that I'm coming too.
Coming for to carry me.
I don't know who did the slideshow, but what a great illustration of a life well lived. I would like to address my comments this afternoon to Kelly's family, in particular his children, Allie, Joanna, and Jeremiah. The rest of us are all here to mourn and to grieve with you. And we're also here to assure you with our presence that Kelly's life mattered. And in the process, we hope to provide some comfort. Many years ago at one of our annual all-staff gatherings in Vail, I spoke about pursuing eulogy values instead of simply pursuing resume values. Resume values bring status and power and wealth and popularity. Eulogy values are the kind of virtues we talk about on a day like today. Eulogy virtues speak to the kind of person someone was and how they treated others and how they cared for others. Your dad excelled at the pursuit of eulogy values, which is why I didn't hesitate when you asked me to speak today. It's easy. Like all the rest of us, Kelly had his shortcomings and faults, but he was quite simply, authentically, a really good guy. We were thrilled to hire your dad back in 2005 because he could teach not just physics, but also chemistry. If, I won't do this and embarrass people, but if I ask people to raise their hand if they could, they were capable of teaching those two subjects in high school, there wouldn't be many hands up here, if any. So the bottom line is your dad was really smart. I attended countless meetings with your dad. I'm quite confident that in most of those meetings, he was probably the smartest person in the room. And it's really easy for exceptionally smart people to treat others like they're less than, less capable, or not as valuable. But I never, ever saw your dad do that. In fact, he usually deferred to others, consistently treating others like they were more important than him. Now, I'm not the only one who saw this in Kelly. Talking with some of his former colleagues and supervisors, I heard comments that affirmed these virtues. Nehmer Hasse, one of your dad's colleagues, who's in some of the pictures here, and recent supervisor, noted that Kelly's work was marked by, and I quote, his authenticity, empathy, and respect for people. He cared for people and went out of his way to do the little things for people. Great statement. He did the little things for people. It's so easy to judge people based on the big, bold things that may be accomplished. But for most of us, it's the little things that other people do that truly matters. Your dad did those little things. Interestingly, out of the blue, about 2 weeks before he passed, your dad sent me a text. He was just using me for directory assistance. He needed somebody's phone number. But when I provided it, he responded, you know, with the standard thank you. And then he added three words. I miss you. Just a little thing. But it completely changed my reaction to the text. It was the kind of authentic, personal touch that marked who your dad was. Tricia Pena hired Kelly as a teacher in Vail and then promoted him to assistant principal 5 years later. This is what Tricia had to say about your dad. Quote, Kelly was a kind and respectful man and a leader, and listen to this, who led with heart. His smile was contagious, and he had a sense of humor to always bring a laugh to the day. He valued family and people. And then she added this critically important statement. Quote, without saying a word, it was easy to see that he was a man of strong faith. End quote. Anyone who knew your dad well would agree with that powerful statement. And that statement brings me to my last point. Speakers at these kinds of service often struggle to offer some kind of assurance that the person who has passed is now in a better place. I've been to services where speakers suggest that the deceased is now probably playing golf every day, his favorite game, or perhaps smiling down on us from the clouds. Allie, Joanna, and Jeremiah, you have an infinitely better assurance. As Tricia Pena said, we all knew your dad was a man of strong faith. Today, as Chase referenced earlier, your dad is in the presence of his Lord and Savior. And I do not profess to know exactly what that looks like. But I know, and I trust you know, that he's in a place where there's no more sickness, no more pain, No more misunderstandings. No more conflict. A place of peace, devoid of evil. And each of you, along with others who believe, can look forward to the day when we will join him.
If you're able, I invite you to stand as we sing another hymn, offering our praise and worship and all that we have to our Lord Jesus Christ.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily. Jesus, I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow, worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, I surrender, make me Savior holy thou, let me feel thy Holy Spirit, truly know that thou art mine, I surrender all, I surrender.
Seated.
I'm Pastor Mike. I'm pastor of Sonoda Bible Church, the home church of my wonderful sister Nancy, Kelly's mom. Why? Such a small word. Yet it contains the biggest question known to mankind. When something happens, we always want to know why. We think that if we can just understand why something happens, we can control it or at least make sense of it. Now, science focuses on explaining how things happen because that's where there have been tremendous discoveries that have made life good. Hey, my cousins, Orville and Wilbur, were the first to fly just a little over 100 years ago. And yet, within 60 years, we were landing on the moon. The problem is that when you focus on the how, you think it's going to lead to the why. No matter how much science delves into the how of things, there is one thing they will never be able to discover, and that is the why of things. Another problem for us is that when we're not able to figure things out, we will often put them out of our mind or trivialize them. Yet there are times in life when we must confront these troubling, unanswered questions. And this is one of those times. Why? Why did we lose such a kind, wonderful man? A husband, father, a son, a colleague, a friend. Why do people die? Why is there suffering in this world? If God loves us, wouldn't he eliminate that suffering? Well, the answer of that question is found in the first book of the Bible. In the book of Genesis, we read about how this world came to be, and we will also learn why it came to be. But one of the biggest questions we learn from Genesis is why there is suffering and death in this world. Genesis starts off rather exciting with all the wonderful creation things, and then it says, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Now, I don't know about you, but that does not describe the world that I live in. Sure, there are some very good things in this world, such as the love of a spouse and other pleasures of this world, but there are some very bad things in this world. I don't think God would call that very good. Something must have changed from the time when he declared that the world was very good to today. Well, something did change. We read about that in Genesis chapter 3. And so when the woman saw that there was a tree that was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. Here we see the beginning of all that is bad in this world. When Adam and Eve chose to disobey God and eat of the forbidden fruit, it introduced a new concept into this world that had been all good. That concept is known as sin. Sin is quite simply anything that is not pleasing to God. And sin entered the world at that time of Adam's disobedience, and he brought with it death and suffering. Sin tainted everything. It tainted Adam and Eve. They began to think more highly of themselves. They even thought they could hide from God, who is everywhere. It tainted the world, and work would now become drudgery. Every child born of Adam and Eve would be born into this sin-tainted world, all of us. But the good news is that God did not leave them in this helpless condition. He sought them out in that hiding place, and he clothed them, and he gave them a promise of final restoration that Kelly is enjoying now. He does the same for us today. He seeks us out. He seeks us out through people like Kelly's touch in our lives. He seeks us out through his word. He seeks us out in many different ways. He provides for us. He gives us the same promise of victory over the adversary that led Adam into sin. This final victory was accomplished by Jesus. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross for our sins and rose from the grave, providing death, proving death had no power over him. And the good news for us today is that God invites everyone to participate in that victory. The Bible says that Jesus came that we might have life and have it abundantly. Those of us that knew Kelly knew he had an abundant life, and it's because of his faith in Jesus Christ. He experienced that abundant life. Once we obtain this new life and we're given new meaning and purpose in life, and when we live for a higher purpose than our fleeting pleasures, we no longer have to figure out things for ourselves. We're guided by God. We're able to enjoy life as never before because we discover what we were created for. You know, when something works in line with how it was created, everything functions much better. Just imagine if I decided to use my riding lawnmower as my primary mode of transportation. It would get me from one point to another, but I would look pretty ridiculous. That's not what it was created for. Can you imagine a trip to Costco? We were created for so much more than what we accomplish and what we enjoy in life. We were created for more than that, as much as joy and wonderful things that that brings to us. We were created to be with God and accomplish His purposes, and that's what we see in a man like Kelly. He was doing his best to do that. For those that knew Kelly could say that he did enjoy the here and now he is enjoying eternity. You see, when we are born again, we get a glimpse of what Adam and Eve experienced before they sinned. We get to experience the real meaning and purpose of life. What a joy to know that Kelly experienced that. He acknowledged early in his life that he was a sinner needing reconciliation with his Creator. And because of that, Kelly is with his Lord and Savior today. Not because he was a good person. Many people might think that. I want to be like a guy like Kelly so I can have that final destination. No, Kelly was who he was because of what was in him. He didn't earn it. The only way to become good enough to be where Kelly is today is to obtain the merits of a perfect person. And that is what happened when he accepted Jesus as his Savior. Oh, what joy and comfort. You know, we say that with almost a lump in our throat. Joy and comfort. Knowing that Kelly is with his Savior. He is no longer here with you. He's no longer with you, colleagues and friends and family. And you'll miss him. We can thank God for people like Kelly that touch our lives. But what a joy to know that he truly is with the Savior that he loved here. He did not die. He just changed his address. And we'll have to see him at his new home later. What a precious promise that is. And it's my hope that you are comforted by that knowledge today. That Kelly is free from this sin-tainted world and enjoying fellowship with his Creator right now. He is experiencing what we are only hoping for. And I can say with assurance, Kelly would want you to have the same experience he is having today. His hope has become reality. He now sees God in all his glory. His vision is no longer tainted by this world. He doesn't need glasses anymore. It's my hope that his passing is actually a time of rejoicing in a strange way. For it reminds us that this life is not all that there is. There is more to come when we know Jesus as our Savior. Thank you.
This next song is one that has meaning, I know, to Dana and the kids. And if you know it, I encourage you to sing along. If it's not familiar to you, please just focus on the lyrics. It tells about the richness and the faithfulness of our God. Thank you.
of Abraham, you're the God of covenant, the faithful promises. Time and time again, you have proven, you do just what you say. Though the storms may come and the winds may blow, I'll remain steadfast. And let my heart learn, when you speak a word, it will come to pass. Great is your faithfulness to me. Great is your faithfulness to me. God, from age to age, though the earth may pass away, your word remains the same, yeah. History can prove there's nothing you can't do. You're faithful and true. Though the storms may come and the winds may blow, I'll remain steadfast. And let my heart learn, when you speak a word, it will come to pass. Great is your faithfulness to me. Great is your faithfulness to me. From the rising sun to the setting, same, I will praise your name. Great is your faithfulness to me. I put my faith in Jesus, my anchor to the ground, my hope and firm foundation. He'll never let me down. I put my faith in Jesus, my anchor to the ground, my hope and firm foundation. You'll never let me down. Great is your faithfulness to me. Great is your faithfulness to me. From the rising sun to the setting, same, I will praise your name. Great is your faithfulness to me.
At the conclusion of the service here in just a minute, if you all would please remain seated as the family is dismissed and they walk out. And then they invite you all to join them in a reception in the FLC building, which is right out these doors here, for a time of a fellowship. And there's some food over there as well. I want to leave, I'll close with two verses. The first spoken by Jesus in John chapter 11, verse 25, at the tomb of Lazarus. And he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. We have a great hope, and we have great peace and comfort because we have a great Savior. And we hold on to the promise found in Revelation 21, verse 4 in the program. Jesus will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Grace be to God. Amen.
lights fall short. I got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah. I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got one response, I've got just one. With my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a heart. Don't you get shy.